know whether we're going over the air or not. We think we are. We're having a little sound problem with the feeds. My cameraman is indicating, yes, we're going over the air. So I assume they have some kind of on-air, off-air feed that lets them know it's going over the air. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Good. And we're live and ready to go. I sure didn't want to start out with a sound problem. We're live, at least on this end of the camera. You better be. Now, we have some interesting things to show you from the Devon Horse Show and other things, but I want to know you're there. I haven't even looked at the bookkeeping. Our goal is $300,000 a week. I assume that you're as serious about that as I am and are listening to the teaching on the importance of giving God's way. So let me see how quickly the phones will jam up now that we know we have sound as we get ready to go for it this week. At the same time, sharing some things that I know you want to hear and see. So get on the telephone. Let me know you're there. Testing. Well, we are going to have sound problems. A lot of people are calling and thanking God, and I'm glad the teaching is taking root for the angel that goes before those that pay their first fruits. And they are speaking of the announcement I made this morning about Ready Kilowatt. And Christine Shaw, our director, who rides Ready, and whom we've seen so many times riding him to various championships. It was a squeaker. And we just about have it ready to show you. But I think, we're picking this because of your interest in Ready Kilowatt. And you all know how I feel about Ready. I'm very selective about who I let ride Ready Kilowatt. He can do no wrong. He's not... I think I understand how the English felt about the eagle at the Winter Olympics, their one entry. He maybe wasn't the best skier, but they loved him. I think Ready Kilowatt's a better horse than the eagle was a skier. But in that affection, Ready Kilowatt was the first horse that performed as a champion for us, and his heart has continued to win us over. I mean, some horses, if they have an accident, it's amazing the way horses remember. They never forget it. They never forget a bad experience. It was impossible to get Rorschach, for example, a year ago into the ring at Del Mar because of a bad experience that he remembered there. Thanks to Mousie Williams and Linda, whose training skills are unusual, Rorschach went back this year and got over it, which is a credit to both the horse and the trainer. But the horse is a constant source of amazement to me. And I want you to know there are people who will challenge this. And it's probably the reason why at 58, because I worship courage, that I've started riding again. I dropped my glasses at the thought of it. And I've been riding Stanley County Fox and Octopussy, who's a horse that I did not name. And others in the barn. I believe that horseback riding is the most difficult sport in the world. Every other sport, you are, in essence, seeking to command your own body. In horseback riding, you must command your own body and and at the same time work through the mind of a separate entity with a mind of its own. That's what makes horseback riding such a difficult sport. You're not just a passenger on that horse. I mean, every shift of, we're talking about from the hunters, which when people look at them, they think of kids that get on horses bareback and jump fences, who are too immature to know the risk, and whose bones heal fast enough, doesn't matter that much. But the hunter division of horseback riding is the ballet of the horseback world. The slightest wrong shift of body weight, the slightest shifting of the pace, which puts the horse in front of the jump at a different spot, and you got to hit the pace and the spots and do everything right through 8 or 9 jumps as you go around to the high jumping Grand Prix horses, to the saddlebreds, to the stock horse who skids and spins. You must do all these things, first controlling your own body, and then with your body and your mind, controlling this other entity with a mind of its own. And occasionally, no matter what you do, this other entity with a mind of his own blows the plan. Now, there are accidents that are the mistake of the rider. There are accidents that are mutual mistakes. And then there are accidents that just happen, and you can't find an explanation. And the one you're going to see is one of those. It's scary. I have pushed Christine because she is such a good rider and so game and goes for it. In fact, I'm sure some of my trainers will hear this, but it's my job to make these kinds of decisions like a coach. Some riders can ride some horses better than other horses. And as Larry Hodges said, and I'll quote him, only two people can ride Reddy Kilowatt and make it look easy. He's not an easy horse to ride. He's big stallions, and that's part of the gift, is to take these big stallions and make it look easy. The reason they gild most stallions is to get that hormone additive out that makes them a little more controllable to this outside mind. One of the most exciting things that happened at Devon was a head-to-head battle between Callaway's Caper and Mr. Republican. Callaway's Mr. Republican, both out of the same stock line, both champions. And they went into a head-to-head work-off that was a sight to see. But Mr. Republican didn't have a problem that Callaway's Caper had, which is why you don't see as many mares winning the big stake as you do the stallions and the geldings. They have a monthly cycle. And all species of female go insane once a month. The women's livers, if they ever win at all, will put women in charge of the world, and they are superior creatures. Can you imagine when they finally take over and are in total control? When that intolerable time comes, we men subjects had better have places to hide real quickly. And you have this problem in the horse training world too, you know. A mare is always an unpredictable animal when she's in season. And Callaway's Caper was in season at Devon, and it's a credit to Jack Nevitt and his writing skills. This is the most difficult sport in the world because of these intangible elements. This is why I am continually fascinated with the training of horses. Have been fascinated since I trace the Greek word where it says Moses was the meekest of men, and I hated that because it peddled the concept that Moses, as the epitome of the God-approved man, had to be milquetoast. And I could not believe God wanted to populate heaven with a bunch of cream puffs. Until I trace that word, translated meekest of men, to its first use in an ancient Greek classic on the taming of horses. And literally, Moses was a tamed man. All the power, all the strength, all the fire, all the energy under control of a higher power. That's what a perfectly trained champion horse is. All the power, all the strength is there, being controlled by a superior and better mind, and for the right kinds of trainers, and there are bad trainers. I mean, Satan is a being superior to us, and he'd like to control us, and normally does, but not for our interest. The good trainers love the horse and want the best from and for the horse. And when you see a good trainer controlling a powerful horse, you have the best human analogy I can find of the spirit control life. And it fascinates me, but it's a sport that is dangerous and difficult at its seemingly most passive, peaceful moments. You never know. Some people say horses are stupid. They ain't stupid. You just don't see as they see. And down through the centuries, their genes have developed because they are animals of prey. They have had only two defenses, to bite and to strike out or kick. And their first reaction as an animal of prey is to run, to escape, to dodge. And those two big eyes, I've tried to figure out, in fact, I've wanted to invent some kind of periscope setup that I could figure out. I'd like to, in television, where they're dealing with these instruments you look through and see with, I'd like to see if somebody could develop a set of eyes you could wear on your ears and through mirrors and prisms, try to see what it's like to view the world with those two eyes on the side of your head like a horse has, who sees and is built to avoid danger. I like that too, because that's what we are. We are constantly animals of prey, so to speak, in a territory given by that damned idiot Adam over to the devil when God gave him dominion, and the prince of the power of the hour, prince of the power of the air is out to get us. And we'd do well to have some of a horse's alertness and develop the trust in the Holy Spirit as the trainer to lead us through, and develop the ability to follow that Spirit's leading wherever. But occasionally, just as we break loose from God, horses break loose. And they are scary, scary creatures. Now, I was going to show you first, because I felt she deserved it, Chris winning the championship on Ready at Cares, which you've seen before. I think I'll save that to the engineers that are doing it back there and show you right off her ride at Devon, but don't start it yet. As I said, I pushed Chris because Larry Hodge made Ready. He can't be here all the time, and we also wanted to put him in the amateur division. And only Chris and Reddy, and Larry and Reddy, seemed to get along. I don't think she would mind, because Larry has said it, and I think she would say it. Joan Hamilton rides Stanley County Fox, the big, powerful walk-trot horse that I'm going to ride, and have been riding, to championship after championship. And Larry said to me, Joan can't ride Reddy Kilowatt across the street. An exaggeration, I'm sure, but they just, he's hard to ride. It takes a certain chemistry between the rider and the horse. And Chris has only been riding about 4 years at all, and only been riding the saddlebreds, I think this is her second year. So she's out there against people who have ridden 10, 20, 30 years, but she is so naturally good at it that we continue to push her, and she's gutsy, and this is pretty scary. So if you got Devin ready, I'm going to let you view it with the sound from the show ring, if they have it.
They're just queuing now.
They're just queuing now? I think they did some warm-up work as well. That's okay. Just, if they got it, just put it with the warm-up work going, because this is this was at Devon, the classic and historic, and let me talk to my engineers. You can go with the warm-up, just as we always do, from the barn, just as soon as you get to ready going, let's go. They're in the warm-up ring. Devon Horse Show, where champions meet, but I want the sound from the ring. So, turn it up. This is a historic show.
I hope so.
Today, as you can see. Coaching on the sidelines. Now you all be on your toes back there, because I'm going to have you freeze this at various times. Is casting a very strong shadow. Notice that. And more than one horse spooked at his shadow in this ring. Notice the rail with a hedge on the inside of the rail.
Let's go!
get the same encouragement. There. Don't do it till I tell you to do it. But for some reason, like I said, these horses get unpredictable and ready. She's going to take the canter here and do fine. Then they're going to reverse, and I'm going to freeze it and show you something. Down and they're going to reverse and go the other way. We have trainers all around the ring, as everybody does, and everybody's coaching their riders. So you've got to learn to pick the voices out. Now watch here. Reddy's going to take the trot.
On the reverse and strike up that trot, please. Showing now the red.
And then all of a sudden something's going to bother him and he's going to go into a slow gait from the trot. See, perfect trot. Perfect position, and suddenly he gets something like something. And he just stays worked up. Down the whole side, he's upset about something. Try to encourage Chris, because luckily the judge wasn't looking. He didn't see this. Reddy's just upset. He will not go into that trot, which is his big gate. This is enough to unnerve any rider, because he always takes the trot. Once in a while you have trouble with the canter, but he just upset the stallion. But we're going to try to encourage Chris, because most of the time the judge is looking the other way. He didn't see it. So the rider can give up at this point, thinking, well, I've lost it. But it's one judge in the ring, and if he's looking the other way, he's not a camera on one horse. So we're all yelling at Chris, keep going, don't give up. Because you can still win it going the other direction. Particularly if the judge hasn't seen it, because he's been looking the other side. But Reddy never misses up on the trot. So the problem started somewhere up there in that corner. Michelle McFarland had flown Miss Rockette all the way there, and she acted up in one of the classes, and when they were lined up, Michelle was tapping her on the side of the neck saying, bad girl, I brought you all the way from California and you were a bad girl. So, California horses didn't like Pennsylvania and that hedge on the inside, I guess. But we thought we had it going here. Reddy's racking away. Don't look away.
Get set! Off and get set!
She'll take off on the wrong lead, stop, and then get it right. And we still can't figure out what got into Reddy. Wrong lead. So she stops, comes out and positions herself correctly, and gets it right. You watch. Pretty terrifying. Stop it. back it up just to the corner. I want to look at that one more time. And this is what I'm telling you about the unexpected. Now, any horse can go off on the wrong lead. That's why you have the coaches there to tell the amateurs. She did right, she stopped. She then pulled back away from the rail because you want to start off with the right lead. And he starts off with the right lead. We all say, go on, go for it. She's going on. And suddenly he sees something. And he does a lead change in the air, comes down with the left lead, and takes himself right over into the hedge. Now, horses set their distance by the rail. It's the way they've been trained in most of the saddlebred. You watch them when they take the canter, they'll curve right toward the rail, and the horses will stop. They won't hit that rail. But it's been a constant debate in the horse world where they can see color, what they can see, what they can't see. And I and my trainers were convinced the horses could not see that green hedge. And the bright lights, they saw the rail and they would set their distance to the rail, and suddenly there was the hedge, and in the hedge is another hidden fence and a wire. Let's see it. Watch, he'll take the wrong lead. That's wrong lead. She stops, comes back and positions herself. Gets it right. Right lead. There the change. Now, let it roll. Chris is going to be a picture of total forlorn dejection. There was a little humor when we can look back. I mean, Chris is sobbing in the ring because she doesn't know how badly Reddy's hurt. She doesn't care about herself, which speaks of her own courage, but she's just coming unglued because she knows what Reddy means to all of us and equally to her, and she doesn't know how badly he's hurt. So she's just sobbing in the ring. But back it up, there is a little humor. Back it up. Now, back it up with us looking at it. Just roll it back. The way you can do it with these things. That's fine. That's marvelous. Back it up. I want to show you a little humor in the tragedy, and I'm telling you, Chris and the horse are okay. Chris doesn't even have a bruise, and the horse has just a little skin abrasion. But there's some humor involved. This is the last time we're going to look at this devastating thing. Wrong lead. She quite properly stopped, positioned herself out to take the right lead, did it. She's going straight, and bam, he turns. Now watch on the right of the screen. Here comes Jack Nevitt, who was up at the other corner coaching. Are you watching? Here comes Jack. He's run the whole way. He jumps up on this rail, and then he says, oh, look how far down. He said when he got on that rail, he said, oh, bleep. I'm here now. Here goes. And thank God they came out of it safe. That was pretty horrifying. You watch it in slow motion, it traumatizes you. Now, he had technically taken the lead, which was the final gate. So Chris is sobbing, as I said, and we're about to take him out of the ring. I'm watching him close. He's hitching a little, but it seems okay. So I stop him to keep him in the ring to be judged, which would qualify him to go back if we think Reddy can. So I ran from the stand, stopped him about here. You'll see Jack put his finger, Jack hears me right there. And so they're about out the gate. He'll talk to the steward. And it's important when this happens, if you've got the guts to do it, to get right back up. Any horseman will tell you, get back on if you can. Chris is crying uncontrollably. We have a lot of horses, but none that's loved like Reddy because of his heart and courage. But you can see, he took the fall. He's still pawing the ground. He's... Something was bothering Reddy, and he just wasn't his usual Reddy this night.
Thank you. The rail now has a canter, please. Rail has a canter, please. Back in, canter, please.
So if we leave him in until the judge judges, he is technically qualified to go back if we choose to take him back in the stake. The judge, Johnny Jones, so after he judged him, he was technically, he couldn't win, having fallen, and there were more than eight horses. I think there were 10 horses. So they take the gate, qualified to come back. Now, if you all can find back there, the ladies three-gated class, Yorktown Pudding. I want it ready immediately. Pretty scary, huh? Yeah, I mean, that's what can happen with these big, powerful animals. Well, the next night, we knew we had to get Chris back in the ring, and she knew she had to get back in the ring. So the next available class was this one. So here we go. feels like to come back through that gate again, but there they are.
Thank you. Our class is complete, and we're underway. Nice ladies class for you to enjoy as we show Eddie in park truck, please. On the reel now, Eddie in park truck.
Through Chris's brain every time she goes past that spot on the rail, because it's still fresh in her brain. That's the way you keep progressing. You just get up and go for it again. Never wearing its ears. Remember it. Now go. See the ears pinned? This is a ladies' class, mind you, where manners and brightness is supposed to win it. Look at Puddin', her ears locked forward.
I don't know which one you like out here.
Knees going 4 to 6 inches above level. Mud on the track there performing. Look at that horse, ears pinned. And there's a pretty one. And look at Puddin', she never falters.
Thank you.
I'm going to engage in some personal opinion. Jack Nevitt, who is our master horseman at the ranch, just freeze it there back there and hold it and come to me for a minute. But don't, I want to be able to go back to the same spot. Jack Nevitt, who's our master horseman, was warming up a Horner's horse in the chute at Louisville a few years back, and the horse broke loose and he somehow got entangled in the reins and got dragged down the chute, his body banging against posts and wall. As he tells it, he, after the first few 100 feet and the repeated bangings, he only began to pray for one thing, that he'd die, so that the pain, the suffering had quit. Now I'm going to talk about compassion. I want you to know that this is a brutal sport. This is why I say that Christians, I don't create monasteries. You get out there and go for it, and you make your place. We don't get any mercy in this horse world. We have made our place. We're newcomers. We've won a lot. We have some strong friends, but we have some strong enemies, people who don't like us coming into it. I still confront there people that think I buy the horses with church money. And I figure that they've shoveled horse dumping so long that it's got inside their skull and no sense trying to explain to them anymore. The people that know that I buy the horses with art money, and that's my right. And my people know it, and we love our horses and try to represent the breed in a proper way. But there are just a lot of people don't want us in the business. And I said, go fly a kite. I love the horses. And but I, cream rises to the top, and I'm a humane person. And I don't think I'm right. I know I'm right. I'm going to talk about compassion. You don't want anything given to you that you don't earn. But a judge that tells you that he just going to judge the horses no matter what is full of it, because the horses ultimately reduce down to some personal opinions, subjective viewpoints when you reach the quality of champions, because they're all so good. And any judge will tell you that if the call is so close that it could go either way, and one horse is ridden by a rat or a snake, and the other one's ridden by a nice person, if it can go either way, unless you've got a sick mind, you're going to give it to the decent person, not the snake. Anybody that says they don't make those subjective calls is crazier than a lunatic. I think, and I'm going to make a statement, and there are some that will hear this statement and say, well, by golly, I'm going to judge the horse. And I'm going to say, well, you've been too close to the wrong end of the horse too long. Compassion has a part in any business or any sport. And after Jack Nevitt was dragged the length of the chute, if he had the guts, to those of us that love the business and love the industry, if he had the guts to get back behind a horse and drive in the ring after such an accident, then that's what we're all trying to promote and communicate in the industry. And if when he goes in he doesn't win, well, Jack Nevitt wouldn't want the prize either. Don't give it to him. But if first time in the ring after that terrible accident in the chute, it's so close you can't tell which one won, then if I were in there going against Jack, I would say give it to Jack. I mean, give him some points for getting back in there. I have the same attitude of compassion for champions. I believe that once a horse has won a championship, to protect the integrity of the championship, don't take the championship away from him on a close one. And you'll remember in the first work off between King of High Point, Sultan's legal contract, as he was called then, and Buck Rogers, even though it was so close that the judge, Rob Byers, said it was one of the toughest calls he ever made. We were the loser, but I felt it was a right call. I mean, we can analyze it and see the false and strong points of Buck Rogers and the false and strong points of Clyde, but it was so close. Don't take a championship away from Buck Rogers until a horse beats him clean. I feel that way about Skywatch. Don't mark a champion down unless he's really beaten clean. That adds a subjective measure. Now, what I'm leading up to is I'm entitled to my opinion, and judges, if they can't take the heat, they shouldn't get in the kitchen. Just the way I feel about it. I get looked at night after night, criticized for everything from the hat I wear to the color of my eyes to the whether I've been in the sun or not. That's why some wear makeup, which I don't. I believe that after that accident, even though it happens to be